Welcome to For the Record, an unfiltered view on current trends and timeless advice for surviving in the aesthetics industry. Whether you're an injector, practice owner, sales rep, or marketer, it's time to set the record straight. Each week, we cut through the chaos and showcase diverse perspectives and winning ideas from the best minds in the industry. I'm your host, Dr. Tiffany Hall, Chief Growth Officer at Aesthetic Record. Now, let's get started on this week's episode. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of For the Record. This is episode 47 of season 3, and we have in our studio today, in the house, the one and only, the boss, Chris Murray, who is the Vice President of Strategic Partnerships at Revision Skincare, and has been for about 3 years, I think, with Revision. Came from Galderma, came from with me as my competitive RSM. We used to tangle and have some fighting words, but now we're part of the tribe. We're close friends. He's having a huge impact in the industry through Revision with practices, making skincare sexy again, and doing it all with a smile on his face and some great soundtracks. And he's here with us in studio today. So, Chris, welcome to our show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's great to be here and hang out with you as always. It's fun.
We go way back, but you go back even further.
I know. Long time in the business.
We were just saying Chris has been in the industry for 17 years, coming through a lot of different things. So give us an idea. I think folks that know you personally know that you are like a savant. You know all the things about aesthetics. Those who don't know, you may not know that. So you've been here since we laid the foundation of aesthetics. Give us a quick backstory.
Yeah, so I came, you know, I right out of high school, I was asking you before, you know, where do I start? How do I start this? But I think it's important because the evolution really started after high school. I went into the military. So I went to the U.S. Air Force for 6 years. And, you know, when you move away from home the first time, I think that's where you really start to learn how to adapt to your surroundings and really understand kind of how do you assimilate really quickly from, you know, August 20th to August 21st, you have to change completely. And that evolution kind of is where I started and came through. Fast forward all those details into aesthetics, and that I started in Detroit, Detroit, Michigan, and in 2005 with Medisys. So if you know Medisys, is a famous company, and that's really where things started for me, and really just working the Detroit market. During one of the greatest economic crashes in history for the car industry. So it was a great time to move there from Miami. But I think that's what were the at least the start of my career in aesthetics, in dermatology at least.
Yeah, you did pharma on the derm side, I think, for quite some time.
Yeah,
so you know all the players over there. And I think it's interesting when you go from dermatology to aesthetics, even for the same provider, it's a whole different conversation. From like a prescription to like, you know, basically retail in a sense, right? There's profit margin on these things on there. So you've had some characters. We've got some mutual good friends who are characters. But from the aesthetic standpoint, you're a regional sales manager. We competed over some really prime territory in Arkansas.
We did.
We've got some great accounts in Bentonville that I never got because Chris took them off from me. But the feelings are no hard feelings.
No hard feelings.
But kind of walk us through that part. Like you've seen the industry change in crazy ways. Where was it when you started, you know, 2005 to like now? Like what's different today than it was, even skincare, frankly, different today than it was back then?
I mean, it's grown so much. I mean, I think at the beginning, Botox was the only thing there, right? And then Dysport and then Restylane and all these things come out. And I think the biggest change in the industry so far is how far we've come, you know, from having choices and having different options, having different companies support, because the industry, they do everything they can to grow, to drive patients in. And the more people we have pulling that boat, the more people we have. You know, when you look at the injectable or even dermatology, we're not seeing mass amounts of people. You're not seeing huge growth in the number of new people in. And I think that the biggest kind of change or shift has been the acceptance of aesthetics in the national media. You know, there's been times where it's looked at as a joke or as a goof. You know, if someone has a bad result, you know, there's a joke. We all know that the names of people, you know, we laugh at, you know, even if it's in public and, you know, the Saturday Night Live skits. We've come from that to where it's not only accepted, but, you know, I get taps all the time from guys I play hockey with or, you know, their wives want to know about it or they want to know about it. You know, what can you do for this scar? How can I look better and feel better? So I think just the industry growth and the acceptance of what we do and love is really fun to see. It's really come a long way in a short amount of time, in relative time.
I think now it's like a badge of honor. Like, it's a status symbol. If you have, you know, if your lips are done, that means you have enough money to afford it. Where I think, you know, before it was so taboo, to your point, but you know, I think the evolution of injectables is very interesting. You're friends with Shino Bay.
I am.
It's kind of in our tribe as well. A lot with regenerative medicine, with even, you know, the new Revox Lime Relaxer. I guess it's not that new now. But thinking about the difference that, you know, things are changing now to look more at skin, to look more at not just how big your lips are, how big your cheeks are. We're much more refined, I think, now. We're much more nuanced. So that's a big difference, too. And how's
definitely
that playing on, like, what you guys do at Revision to help bring that all together in the office of not just an injectable treatment, but all the other kind of ancillary things that come with it?
Well, there's just, you know, if you're only, you can only inject so much. And then, again, coming from injectables, I'm a big believer in, you know, especially stuff like Sculptra or, you know, Radiesse, that's something different. That's really where this industry is heading. And I think skincare, if you're not addressing the skin, you're not getting the best result. And I think right now the bar is being set very high. If you want to get the best result, you have to do everything you can. And skin, if you're leaving off skincare, I think you're missing. And, you know, I don't mean to laugh at you, but I must say that I don't see how you can even rationalize not addressing the skin when you're injecting. And I think those two things go hand to hand, along with devices and other treatments, even Upneek. You know, you have different ways. People have different things that they want to treat and address. And so more is better. And I think more options is better.
I want to discuss Upneek in a second, but before we go into that, from a revenue perspective, because you're a numbers guy.
I am.
Chris is very, very intelligent, if you guys don't know that. he may not act like it on TV, but he is. No, I'm kidding. But thinking about revenue and skincare, how much should we expect? You know, what do you guys say is your good, like, rule of thumb in a big practice? Should skincare be bringing into the bottom line?
Well, I got to go to Alex Sisler on this, our director of strategic accounts.
Genius.
Yeah, she runs our strategic accounts for Revision. And she really almost like is offended by that question, because it's not, skincare is the back bar, or the backbone to the practice. You know, whether someone passively can buy it from your site, or they can get it when COVID shuts you down, or you can't get another person into your office, skincare gives you a revenue stream that, you know, the big offices, like, look what they're doing. Look at how much skincare they're selling. It's incredible. You know, you can take a practice and really have a retention tool, have something different that separates you. And quite frankly, it's a revenue stream. So yes, you know, we take our studies very seriously to prove that we're going to do what we say we're going to do, and not just suggest it or kind of allude to it or give you a nice before and after, but we're actually going to show you what we're going to do with science. And that really is to convince you, not the patient. Because if you're convinced, your patients are going to be convinced, because they're coming to see you. So skincare, if you're missing that, I'd just love to debate that if you don't see why you would need skincare at this point.
Yeah, you mentioned the studies. I think you guys do such an amazing job with, like, legitimate science. But to the point about revenue stream, it's a recurring revenue model. I mean, they're
Correct.
Coming in every 90 days, depending on what, you know, what they buy, and getting it again. Like, and if it works, they'll keep coming back forever. And I think people complain about Amazon, diverters, all these things. But when they're in your practice and the butt's in your chair, they're going to buy it from you. Like, if you're not good enough to get that done, like, let's talk about your sales strategy and how you pitch products to patients. And, like, there's a way to fix that problem, right? I think that's the easy problem to solve. The hard problem to solve is, will you carry skincare? Will you
Correct.
Pitch it? Will you talk about it? Do you think it's important? Like, that's the hard problem.
Correct. I guarantee you this. I will look into the camera. I'll guarantee you this. Your patient will leave the practice and they will buy skincare. Whether it's from you or not is the question. Fact. They're going to buy skincare. They're going to address their skin. If they're coming to you to invest in a result, right? Whether that's an injectable, it's a device, it's a treatment, esthetician, doesn't matter. They're going to buy a skincare product when they leave, whether it's an SPF, whether that's something, you know, hyaluronic acid, it could be anything, but they're going to buy something. And so you have to make that choice. Do you want it to be you, or do you want to, you know, to give that off? And, you know, there was a time in dermatology where referring someone to CVS or Walgreens to buy an over-the-counter product was perfectly fine. You know, that was something that we'd done. Now you look at it as a physician dispense, you have the advantage. They're in your seat. You can bundle it. You can package it. You can put it, you know, I don't even think it should be an option, frankly. I think this should be right into the cost. You know, if you have a Botox unit at $14 a unit, charge $3 extra and give them Revox Lime Relaxer, walking out the door with a discount. So there's just ways to bundle it and to keep people engaged. And it's something that, again, they will come back to you for, because you're the person that suggested it to them.
you said the magic word, RLR, which is like the magical product in a little tiny bottle. I agree with you. I think about facelifts a lot. We had a customer in Arkansas who, for every facelift she did, she always packaged in 4 miles of Sculptra.
Right.
Always. You had to buy the Sculptra. You couldn't parse it out. Like, you had to get the whole thing. She's like, if you get a facelift, you will need that. Either 6 months, 8 months out, you're going to have it. So I just put it all in there together. And she was a crazy Sculptra practice. Same thing here. Like, if you're going to do, if you're going to go through the work of doing the facelift or the Botox, then do the next step. Do the RLR.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, the Revox Slime Relaxer, the development behind that is just, it's laughable. You know Maria Carell, our CEO. This was really her dream. This was her child. And I came in the middle of it. I came in the middle when they were talking about acetylcholine on the skin. And I was going, whoa, stop. What are you talking about? Why would you want to say that? And they were like, well, we have this product, we're looking at it. We have a standalone study. It's incredible what can be done, but you can actually inhibit acetylcholine on the skin. And I'm going, I hate it. I don't like it. I don't want anything to do with it. And people, why? What's wrong with you? And I said, if you go to an injectable office, their lifeblood is injectables. Like, Botox is the gas that fires that engine. If you start to talk about acetylcholine and make this in any way look like it's going to increase longevity or it's going to be some kind of a competitor topically, you're dead, because just conceptually, you know, the topical is not going to be the same as injecting. It's just not. There's no way that you can say that. So if you have an infomercial that says, you know, we're better than injectable, stop it. We all know that that's kind of laughable. So we stopped the launch. And this is where you take a leader. This is where, like, someone like Maria, like, I'm so lucky to be able to work for her. You see what she did. She stopped the launch, and we went, and she said, give me a list of names of injectors, of people who would do a pairing study. A pairing study. Again, I came from Galderma. Like, we can't do.
You don't pair.
You can't pair. Dysport, like, we weren't allowed to say anything. In fact, I remember launching Dysport, you had a PI. That was it. So, you know, just my mind blowing that we could do this. Well, eventually, you know, we got Sheen Obey, we got Dr. Harper, and we got Kim Schultz, obviously GAIN people. What a surprise. But, you know, they came along and we did a multi-centered IRB approved, placebo controlled, multi-centered. We did everything like an injectable level study. And the whole point of it was to prove that you would get a better result using RLR with Botox than using just Botox alone, which sounds very easy. But if you have a standalone study, so you know the product works, check. And then you have a pairing study that says, okay, this is going to work better than even I thought it was going to work. That to me is a game changer. And that's been an incredible launch. The numbers are staggering. And it's simply because we went to that level. We took it to that level of a study to convince the injector it's worth their time. Yes, you're chasing more units. Yes, you want to put another syringe in them. Yes, you want to get them to the next level. But Revox Slime Relaxer is like adding an area of the face without ever injecting, and you can do it from home.
Oh, beautiful. I have it. I mean, I think about it in the morning, like, I didn't brush my teeth. You know, if I forget to put it on, like, oh gosh, I don't have it on. I'm going to look so old today. Because I know, like, I have physically felt, you know, seen that it works.
Yeah.
But I think it also has to work. Like, it's not just a study, but it actually really works. It really works well. And so people keep buying. Again, the annuity, right? The recurring revenue stream. They keep buying it. They keep wanting it. Now the big bottle, I could take a bath in the big bottle.
We had to get the big bottle because people were using it on the décolleté and their knees and their elbows. And we were taking full body, you know, people were really getting into it. So we bought bigger sizes and more options. One with the tips, you can put it right into the eye. Because I think Sheena, he calls it the crinkles. You know, you just point to this, crinkles, right? You can inject it, but you're going to thin the skin. So this is something that works really well with an injectable product. Whether you pair it or use it standalone, the product works. And we've proven that, again, at an injectable level study when we don't even have to do that. As a skincare company, you don't have to do that. You know, the guy in the airport. I walk by this guy in the airport selling skincare. It makes me crazy because he says, dermatology this, dermatology. They can say whatever they want. We have that kind of a study that's published. You know, it's been on podium, I want to say at this point, for CME or non-CME, more than 20 industry meetings because we've done something that really hasn't really been done before and taking it to that level with the study.
Went to the study concept because you have Maria, who is, like, to your point, the boss of all of this. She's phenomenal. She was our finale of season one and was she's amazing. We love her.
We do.
But to that point, you have Alizar there leading things. You have Tatiana finding these crazy ingredients in the middle of the ocean somewhere on the ocean floor. you've got you out there doing partnerships. You have, you know, Alex out there doing all these strategic account, you know, consulting kind of things. You have a stellar team there.
We do.
But on the research side of it, how does that work? Like, how do you guys decide, first of all, the ingredients that you find, which are crazy, but also how you start conducting research? Because research is very expensive. You know that.
Yeah.
It's a big burden for the business. And you don't have to do it. So why do you do it?
Well, that's a great question. So we manufacture. So right down the street, we're in Dallas. You know, we have a manufacturing in the USA. And we manufacture for a lot of different companies. And so we get access to crazy raw ingredients. There's thousands of raw ingredients in our 116,000 square foot facility, which you've had the honor to tour. It's really cool. But really, the research comes from that beginning, right? We control from the beginning the development of the product that, you know, a CDMO, so a contract development manufacturing organization. Most companies have a CMO. Contract manufacturing. They take something in and they put something out. The D is really difficult. And the D is what we specialize in, that development. And the development is where you're asking the question of where does this come from? And we have a commercial team and we have all these commercial priorities and we meet very regularly and we plan out calendars. We've got products and technologies mapped out for years. Literally years of this, and everything is on a schedule. And you know, you have emergency 2026 product launch is going to be delayed, and it's like how? But that's how much work goes into it, and we have to do that because that's what separates us. If you don't see results, right? If you don't see results, you're not going to buy the product again. And we very much everybody that you just named has a mentality: we have to sell the product twice. We have to sell it to you as a physician first. And we have to help you sell it to your patients. And if we can do that, we have more and more products moving off the shelf. And that comes from all of those different components, the development part, the manufacturing at that level, the packaging that we pick, the packaging that we source. You know, we don't really have a lot of supply chain issues. We have them every once in a while. When it does, it's a catastrophe because we don't normally have them because we're able to buy at such bulk and volume. So all of this kind of is a symphony, and at the top of that symphony is somebody directing that, and that's Maria.
Yeah, you just launched a big new product recently.
We did.
Which I will tell your marketing team, you know, for people who are listening who own a practice, I think it's a mirror image. You know, you guys came in right when you started. I didn't know a lot about Revision at all. I'd heard about them. I knew about them a little bit. But then Chris starts. I'm like, what is this Revision thing? Why is he going there? And all of a sudden, the marketing changed. The look and feel changed. The way you communicated changed. The captions on Instagram and LinkedIn. This unveiling of this product has been like, I thought it was like going to win an Oscar. Like, coming soon in 2 more days, in 1 more day, in 4 more hours. And 3. It was just such a big deal.
Yeah.
So hyped. And then it was awesome.
So yeah.
I think even that part's a much different thing than it was before you showed up. So how does that whole thing, like launching a product, how does that occur?
You got to create a wall of noise. And that's really what it is. You know, Phil Spector is a famous producer in the 60s, but he called it a wall of noise. And that's really the mentality of how it looks. And it's a 360 approach, right? You mentioned earlier diversion in Amazon. You, no matter what, you're going to have to be online if you're a big company. The company that'll come in your office and say, we're not going to be online, they're not big enough. They'll get there someday. Somehow they're going to have to because you can't stop the internet. The internet's undefeated. And so the launch really becomes a coordination of how do we give our partners in their offices the most advantage? How do we create something that's going to be pulled off the shelf? Again, selling at twice. So it's really, really hard to make noise in skincare because there's billions of skincare. I mean, every week, you know, J-Lo or Cardi B or somebody's coming out with a new skincare line. And so you're competing with that. And so how do you take the approach of my product is different or my product, how do we stand out? And so a launch is something that really have to get right. Revox Line Relaxer was the first time I think our company nailed a 360 launch, you know, from online, in office, social media, PR, desk side, studies. I mean, all of the things that went into that, we duplicated again with the DJ Daily Boosting Serum that you just referred to that we just launched. And that launch has been better than the Revox Line Relaxer launch. So we have figured out a kind of a formula of how do you create noise, that wall of sound, so people know what you're doing, know what you're bringing, and why they need it before they even walk into the office. Because of brand awareness, that online thing, if you're online, most people will see it they're more apt to pay the price at the office when they've seen it somewhere else before. If you're asking someone for $160 for a vitamin C, if they've heard about it before, whether that's Lovely Skin, whether that's on our e-tailers or even on Amazon, that's really going to be an advantage for you as an office. And quite frankly, if you're not there, someone else will sell it there for a cheaper price. So if you're able to establish your price and hold that price online and shut down diverters, the office is going to profit and win because the brand awareness is there.
Yeah, there's some big guys who's like Lovely Skin. They're giant. I mean, you want to know about selling skincare. Joe Schlesinger is selling God knows what. I mean, it's insane. It's a machine.
Omaha.
Yeah, in Omaha, Nebraska.
Omaha, Nebraska.
And Joel. Yeah, that's the two twin towers of Omaha.
And somehow it all makes sense.
Yeah, and it works, and they do a great job at it. But you know, I think to that point, you mentioned, you know, from a 360 perspective, I think a practice launching a new device, even launching a revision in their practice, mm-hmm. it's very similar. Like, this new thing is here. We have, you know, the hype you create, the events, all the promotions, all these things. So part of that is, like, in your role today, we were just laughing about he's a VP of strategic partnerships. Like, what the hell does that mean? No one knows.
What does that mean?
What is that? I know industry-wise you partner. We'll talk about Upnique in a second. But how do you partner with, like, the practices? And what is your involvement with, like, the Joe Schmo day-to-day customer revision?
I want to go back first and say, where did it come from? And I think where it came from was where we came from at Galderma. You know, at that time, Dysport had 11% market share. I mean, these are rough. We're talking about rough numbers here, but this is where it came from. At 11% market share, and you'd walk into it, and they go, "With Dysport, what's Dysport? It spreads. It doesn't work."
The unit counts all.
There
wrong.
Was all this stuff, and it was because you were competing against Botox, and Botox is like Kleenex. Kleenex is just what it's called, and so Botox, even if they didn't understand what Botox was, they thought they needed it. And so you had to find a way to really separate yourself to compete. And you look at what you, Scott McCray, Alyssa, Eric Brent, like the people that started Gain, the people that did something different, changed the game. And that market share tripled in like 2 to 3 years. And the reason was is because we partnered with people. We had skincare promotions. We had different. We basically made ourselves indispensable in the practice. And that mentality, when I came to Revision, to your point, my region at Galderma was the size of Revision when I came here. And I didn't know that. And so you're going against SkinMedica, it's owned by Allergan. You're going against SkinCeuticals, is owned by L'Oreal. You're going against, it's the same thing as what we did with Dysport. And how I just I call myself the Forrest Gump of aesthetics, because I really do just kind of move around and just watch and look and good ideas, I see them and I take them with me. And so the idea to partner, to make yourself bigger and more valuable than you really are, I think was where it came from, and it's been very successful. And that's where the partnership part of it came from, is just, you know, we have the same goals. Let's work together, and it's not. I'm not out to get anybody. In fact, I have tons of respect for Allergan. I didn't have that and know that at the time at Galderma, but man, it must be tough to wear the crown. Honestly, like, everybody's coming after you. You know, I'm really kind of, you know, concerned with a price war in the U.S. and things going discounted to the point where we're Europe, where there's too many things. So I think the Allergan that carries that crown and carries the kind of the torch of aesthetics, I can't say enough about that. I think that's, you know, so I'm going against them, right? But I actually work with them too. And I think that's part of the partnerships. Like, we have mutual goals, and that's to better the aesthetic field, whether that's them being at the Elite Retreat or that's me, you know, going to one of their events, it doesn't matter. The partnership part, there's more business outside trying to get in than there is for us to fight amongst each other. So really, there's no reason to be not to partner, unless, you know, your company is a competitor that you just don't want to go there.
You make, like, the thing about the crown. Holy cow, what a great point. I just had this discussion with Scott Callahan, actually. We were in
I love Scott.
California, about Allergan's job is to make the market. We've discussed this at Galderma all the time. They're supposed to grow the market. Their investment is DTC to grow the market. Mm-hmm. And then it's up to Galderma, MERS, whoever else to come in and, like, change minds and hearts and convert market share. What a responsibility, though. Like, what a responsibility to know that it's on your back from an investment perspective to always be growing the market. The fence sitters, we talk about the fence sitters all the time. I think skincare is, in some ways, there are so many of you, and some of you who are not good, a few of you who are good. I think there's responsibility there too to like to explain to the average customer, like, this physician dispensing is a big deal. Like, getting real skincare, like, there's a heavy burden to wear there that's not even your product. Just misinformation and getting, like, the noise to go away and, like, you know, things delivered to the patient. I think that's a huge part of it, too, that you guys don't – we don't have to do that. Injectables, it's not – you know, we know it's a medical procedure, but skincare, they don't know that.
No, they don't. And that's – and there's a reason for that, right? So when was the last time we ever returned a vial of Dysport? When was the last time you returned a syringe of Voluma? You don't. It you expect when you buy it, you sell it. Skincare does not have that expectation. You have to make sure that people understand that they need it, right? Even like the Upneek thing, like nobody knows they need it until, oh, there's an eye drop. So how do you create that need? We do need the Allergans of the world to step up and do that. And so when someone complains about the price of those syringes, that's all going into that cost. And we have that same cost. You know, our expenses, as we've grown, have become more and more. You know, you've got inflation, you've got supply chain, you've got a lot of different costs coming in. So that responsibility is definitely there. And we definitely feel like we own that responsibility. Because when I came here to revision, I didn't know there was rules in skincare. I thought you could say anything. Like, I was like, wait a minute, we have regulatory? Like, why would we have regulatory? Guess what? You can't say crazy things. Like, you can't make claims whether you want to or not. So we all do have a responsibility to set the right expectation and then deliver.
And I think, too, the expenses side of it, you start going to more conferences because you have to go now. Uh-huh. Like, once you hit that level, you have to be there. And if you're not there, it looks terrible for the company.
Correct.
I think people misunderstand that. Like, when you go to a conference, go see your people at the booth. They had to pay a lot of money to come there and, like, be part of it. And if they don't come, it's like, how could Revision not show up? Oh, it's so tacky of them. Like, they should be here.
And well, your relevance. Yeah. I mean, it's like, oh, they're not relevant. Well, yeah, we're relevant. You know, yes, the industry meetings, and there's a lot of them.
Oh,
you know,
God,
there's
so many.
There's a ton of them. My wife has really had enough of those. But yeah, they're very important because that's where you should go to get your information and your training and keep up on your CMEs for sure.
You mentioned Upneek a few times. You kind of spearheaded, I think you did spearhead that partnership, which, what a great pair of RLR, skincare, and then this Upneek, you know, lid lifting thing all together. How did that kind of transpire and where did that go?
There was two objectives I think both companies had. One was brand awareness and two was to drive revenue. And so the brand awareness part I think was a home run. In fact, a grand slam. Because Upneek was one of those products that's new, it's hot. And then we had Revox Slime Relaxer. We also have DJI. So right around the eye, I didn't want any product to get that spot. I wanted that spot. And so, you know, we were kind of aggressive with, you know, what we wanted, and they were as well. And it's been a great partnership. Partnerships are two-way streets. You know, you have to be able to give value and then receive value. And if one side doesn't, hold that up, it goes away. And, you know, I was just talking to Paul from RVL a little bit ago about, you know, doing another show that we're going to do. So, you know, RVL has been a great partner. We really hope that people see the need. I certainly love that product. I don't think anything does anything close to that. And then it addresses the whole eye. You know, you've got neurotoxin. You know, there was Allergan was definitely helpful in some of the events that we did. You know, they have the crow's feet indication, so it fit really well with them. Mm-hmm. And then you had, you know, Revox Slime Relaxer to take you home. So the partnership from a brand awareness standpoint has been great. Revenue has been great as well. I mean, I think that, you know, both sides have seen, you know, new accounts and orders come through for the promotion, and that it was ready made for an event. Again, it's always with the second sale in mind. Mm-hmm. And that's really when you can bundle and package that. And that's how JD and I set it up.
And the excitement, our dear friend Aaron Green's over there from Galderma.
Love
JD. Like that whole group over there is innovative, thinking outside the box, you know, much like you guys are, trying to find a way into this share of wallet conversation. But, you know, thinking about partnerships and about meetings, Elite Retreat.
Oh.
If you weren't there, you missed out, like FOMO hardcore. We had the privilege at AR to go to this incredible event that Chris put on, and Alex as well. Was it June, July?
It was in, yeah. I mean, it seems like a year ago.
Oh God,
yeah, it was in June. Yes, it was in June.
But I think I will tell you, I've been to a lot of industry things. You were so insistent that it not be about competition, even about revision.
Right.
More about just the practices benefiting from learning from Rajani about how to do YouTube and Rod Rourke about the, kind of the legacy of being in this industry. And you had so many great speakers, but how did you come up with that? Because if you're not there next year, July 21st, I think it is, my little boy's birthday. If you're not there next year, you better get to buying your Envision right now because you want to go.
Yeah. The Elite Retreat really was a dream. Again, you know, Maria and I, we had different ideas of things that we wanted to do in this industry. And I feel like revision was really good. You know, we talk about business, science, and relationship. That's really simple what we talk about. How do we show up? Business, science, relationship. And I think science is what we're known for. So science, we had a green check mark next to. The business and the relationship part, I don't think up until the Elite Retreat, we were specifically telling people, you're important to us. And so how do we say that? I don't believe in discounting. I'm going to say that right to the camera. I don't believe in discounting because it's like sugar. It's like candy. If I gave you $50 and you put it in your bank account, by next week, you'd forget about it. So why would that help you? If I can show you how to sell more units, if I can show you how to sell more products and get a better result and increase your revenue, now we're talking. That's that two-way partnership. And so the Elite Retreat really was, how do we recognize our top customers? How do we reward them but bring value in a way that's not a discount? And so the Elite Retreat was really kind of a destination experience, a meeting to help invest in you as one of our top accounts. And so what we did was, is once we knew our top accounts, so it was a contest. This year we have a contest through December 31st. Our top 30 accounts, we fly you and a friend in, all expenses paid. And it's basically an all-star lineup that's determined by who's in the room. Because the hard part is, if you already know how to sell skincare, if you're already our top customer, how can I help you to sell more? I can't really say, hey, you know, you should pair it with Botox. Well, no kidding, dude. That's how I got here. So how do you take it to the next level? So we did surveys. And the surveys were our best attempt at creating market data. What do our best customers do well? So we had 5 questions around marketing, 5 questions around training, 5 questions around finance, 5 questions that you had to deal with as a practice owner. And once we did that, we could set a bar. We could look at it and say, okay, our group in this room really does well on e-com, but they're not doing well in this area. And so, like, I'll give you an example. You brought up Rajani. So we listed all the different social media channels, and 44% of our people in the room used YouTube. Well, if you've ever heard of Rajani, YouTube is like gold to him, right? And so this guy's a master at YouTube. So we brought Rajani in to teach people, number one, why it's important, but also a little bit about how to do it. One of the questions came back, you know, 11 people didn't have an exit plan that attended, but they were interested in hearing about one. So you bring Ben Hernandez from SkyTail, our friends at SkyTail. They came in and did a brief discussion on how to get your practice ready to be sold. Friend Media was there. RVL was there. Alyssa, I mean, I watched on the stage at one point. It was Aaron Green, Alyssa Lask, you, and Justin. And I'm sitting there going, pinch me. Like, this is all my friends are at my meeting. I mean, it was really an incredible experience. But I think that the cool part is all the connections that were made. I asked people up front, you know, I play on competition to get in the room, but once you're here, put it away. Learn, you know, Blair Hayes is a genius at marketing, right? So she's a genius. And she got up there and did her thing. And, you know, I'm watching all these people react to it. And then afterwards, I find out they're all signing up with Friend Media, or they're all signing up with RVL, or they opened up. You know, I know someone that's going to speak at Cosmetic Surgery Forum that Dr. Schlesinger saw at the meeting. So I love that. That's my favorite part of this business, is connecting people and to get people that don't even know that they would like each other to like each other. Like, you don't even know that you like them, but I do. And I love that. And the Elite Retreat was like the pinnacle of that.
And a good balance of also networking and like collegial. We had fun at night.
And George Foreman showed up.
And George Foreman came. whose story, you might be like, George Foreman, his story was so good about reinventing yourself.
Exactly. It fit. And it wasn't just to bring a celebrity in. It was to bring the right celebrity of someone that said, okay, as an 18-year-old, I want a gold medal. Cool. 24, I want a world boxing title. That's pretty good, right? Then at 28, he won another one. Then at 50. And then, oh, by the way, he retires and he starts one of the greatest product launches in the history of products. At 2011, I think they sold 111 million units. 111 million units of anything is crazy. 10 years ago, that was, I mean, it's...
Without really e-commerce back then. You were like calling in a home shopping network.
Yeah. It's just incredible. So that was really like the icing on the cake. But you know, you guys played such a big role in that and the production of that. It looked like Aesthetic Next, which go to Aesthetic Next. If you've never been there, you should go. Trust me. It's the best meeting of the year.
Good plug.
I'll say that. Fact, by the way. But yeah, I mean, it really was a collection of friends that came through on an idea that I'm pretty proud of.
Yeah, I can't wait to see the second year because you put it together really not a whole lot of time. Either. Yeah. It was awesome.
We went through a process. We had new owners come in December and in January, that was part of our pitch. You know, what are you going to do next? And, you know, I said, oh, I'm going to throw this event in January. And they're like, all right. Okay, well, now I got to figure it out. So we, you know, Alex and myself and pretty much everyone rallied around, dropped what they were doing and put it together.
Yeah, it was awesome. But, you know, I think it speaks to also in the industry, looking for meetings that aren't just like industry. I shouldn't say industry, but like, you know,
we didn't talk skincare.
You didn't talk about it at all. We talked about business and like elevating your business and thinking about YouTube, like all these things where the value that you got from going to that meeting was exponentially more than learning how to inject a new tear trough technique or cheek differently. You can get that stuff online. You can watch Patreon channels. I think people are starting to understand now more that the networking, the connections, the family that you're building is so much more impactful for your business than becoming a better injector all the time. Like, there's more to it out there than just another CME class.
Yeah, I mean, I've again, anecdotes from that, but, you know, some people would come to the Elite Retreat and they would be introduced to someone that then helped their practice. So I can think of a couple of examples where, you know, someone brought an office manager that's now consulting for another office or working with them. Just the exchange of ideas was something that I wanted and I tried to provoke, but I didn't know it was going to happen or not. And it happened, and I'm really happy that it did.
Okay, so the end of the year is the deadline to go back. So you guys got to get out there and get your revision bot like right now.
Talk to your account executive right now. There's a number. They'll know it up to date by the day. And, you know, again, talking about Allergan, this came from my envy of when we were selling Dysport. We go into, you know, I covered, at this point, I've covered, I want to say 38 states of 50 at some point. And at that point, I would go in and I'd be in Des Moines, Iowa, or I'd, you know, Lubbock, Texas, or I'd be in these towns and someone go, well, I can't, you know, buy this promotion from Galderma because I want to be number 324 for Allergan. And I'd go, well, what does that matter? But it does. And so it's like, if you put a line there, someone will get there. And so, you know, I wish I could bring in 100 people. You know, we have 4,000 accounts plus. And so how could I possibly get 4,000? I can't. So there's got to be a line. So really, at the end of the day, it was based off the Allergan ranking system of how to drive people to compete. And, you know, if you want to be in the room, it's a choice. You know, if you have 17 lines of skincare in your office and you're telling me that you can't be there, I would argue that. And so the question becomes is how bad do you want to be there? And if you want to be there bad enough, well, maybe you'll go down to 3 lines. And if you go down to 3 lines, revision's one of them.
I can imagine 17 lines, and people do. I walk into the office and I'm like, what are you doing here? But an injectable is like, oh, I can only buy Galderma because I got to get these discounts. Like,
right.
Well, use the same they don't mentality have that in your skincare.
No, yeah, they don't.
It's the same economy of scale.
Yeah, they'll say, I want to custom pick my product. Yeah, but if your patients don't know about it because your staff doesn't know about it, it's never going to sell. So, you know, that's one thing I would say is, you know, skincare is definitely not like Walmart, where you want to have a bunch of different things to cover everybody. You want to be more mom and pop, specialize in one or two, and you'll see the growth because your staff will understand the science and the technology and how to talk about it. And when they do, they'll be able to guess what? Sell it.
Well, and you've got some of your team here today, and so maybe you kind of think about that. We filmed some modules with Nicole, who's part of your – really the brains of all the training and all the things that you guys deliver to practices. But I think that's what we miss in skincare is like you have to still train people in skincare. You have to, I think, train them almost more on the verbiage, the how-tos, all the words than you do in injectables. How do you guys, like from a revisions perspective, support practices in that? Because I feel like that is the holy grail.
Yeah, so
you know
we've...
Training.
Well, again, I think I credited you earlier. And again, that's all due respect, Carrie, Mel, Matt, everybody that's
we love
a gain.
Our gain team.
Everybody that's a gain. I'm not... But where it came from, you know, the training aspect was so brilliant because it was something that was needed at the time, and it really was a separator, and that's really where Elite Retreat's going to head. It's great to have one event one time a year, but what if I could do it regionally? What if I could take the content and spread it out to a larger person? Because I tell you right now, the esthetician is the backbone of that practice. You know, I heard Larry Blevins at Aesthetic Next talk about, you know, they're the force multiplier of a practice, an esthetician. God bless him. You're absolutely right. And so what we want to do is create crazy content in the summer that goes regionally the rest of the year. And so that's where you see RVL. We have a partnership with DermPro. We have a partnership with Friend Media. Right now, we're getting to that point where we just hired a licensed esthetician onto the strategic account team to specifically take this content that we have and go to a larger audience, because you're so right. Estheticians and even the injectors, if they're knowledgeable and they understand the technology and what it does for the skin, they'll be bought in, and then your patients will be bought in. It's that simple.
And I think skincare is very complex, like all the ingredients and how they work. And by the way, your vitamin C, mentioned earlier, your vitamin C is phenomenal. I love the vitamin C.
It's crazy.
Shameless plug. But no, I think the training is, especially in a complex environment where there's lots of competitors, you have to establish why you are better. And I think the training is how you do it. So I think that's an awesome job. If you need some help with the regional events, like, you know, I know a person.
Oh, trust me, you're going to be involved. You just don't know it yet. You know, and we got Roger Vernon that came over. You know, he's leading our training and development program. And that's really cool. I was just on a call with him before we got here. The stuff we're going to do, you know, kind of to spread this message farther and wider is going to be very exciting.
That guy onboarded me in my first 2 weeks at Galderma. Roger Vernon.
He hasn't aged a day. It's wild.
Looks the same age as he did back then. Holy cow. It's miraculous. Right? He must be living with Revision Skincare all day, every day on his face.
But. Yeah. We're collecting some talent now. We're getting people on board.
I think it's a testament that skincare, forget skincare as a category, the power of the relationship of what you're doing, of how you're connecting people together, pairing things, like the whole pairing idea that Alex, I think, really brought to the forefront about this, like, procedure pairing thing. She has a great talk on that. Like, that's more of a company brand, a mindset, a motto. I think that's what's sexy. That's what's compelling. That's what's leading. It's not even, I mean, the skincare is great. Yep. Trust me, it's great. But it's everything that the 360 that you mentioned around it is making it really sexy and really, you know, leading the pack. I think you're leading the pack in many, many ways. So,
well, I appreciate that. I you know, again, we have a great team. It's a credit, you know, to everybody that kind of pulls that along, because it's part of our brand story. You know, it really is part of our brand story. It's to procedural pair, to give a better result. You know, we understand the aesthetic market. We're built for the aesthetic market. And so, you know, that's really why we're going to continue to invest in value and bring partnerships to our customers, because it's working.
Yeah, I think as we look at the injectable industry in the next 5 years, it's going to become things like, you know, you've got your core procedures. You're going to have skincare. You're going to have Nutrafol for hair. You're going to have Upneek for your lids. You're going to have, you know, weight loss, this whole thing with semaglutide. You're going to have this whole sort of holistic group of things together that makes the patient fully immersed in your practice. And if they don't get it from you, they're going to get it somewhere else. Like, you have to take them all in and hold them tight. And I think that
Correct.
Really, I mean, I think you're right. If they don't get it from you, they're going to get it from somewhere.
I guarantee it.
So, yeah, make it from you.
I guarantee it.
But what's next for the industry in 5 years? What do you think? What's going to happen?
Like I said, I think, you know, you see all these new entrants in the market, and competition is a good thing. But, you know, we have to make sure that we're taking care of the industry, because there's definitely, you know, again, and you look at Europe, you know, as the example, you know, nobody wants the U.S. to go the way of Europe. And there's good things about it. I don't want to say anything controversial, but at the same time, I do think that we have to be careful that we're taking care of the industry, because the industry is what you, like you said, it's bringing people in the door. When you look at the numbers of who gets injected in a year, it's not a lot. It's just not. Proportionally to the amount of population, or even the age appropriate, income appropriate, females 35 to 50, like, you're not seeing huge growth numbers in aesthetics. There's a lot of people coming into aesthetics. In fact, I would argue there's more investment in companies than there are people that know this business. And so we have to make sure that over the next 5 years that we don't lose control of that.
I mean, I think as the age is going down, I just gave a talk about this a few weeks ago, that the age population is going down to like 20. You know, lips for the first time is the most impactful injectable that we have. those people love skincare. You know, they're not ready yet for Botox. They're not ready yet for a cheek injection. They're not, they haven't aged to the point to need an actual like correction yet. They're getting lips because they're, you know, sexy and plump. I feel like the market is so prime for skincare right now because the age is coming down. You would think it'd be opposite, right? As you get older, you want more. But I think the younger people, they want to buy something. They want to be part of the world. Like they want to be part of this practice in some way. Skincare is like the, it's the beachhead. It's the easy way in.
Yeah. And I think COVID really, really, really proved that point. You know, there, I think it's almost like a watershed moment for skincare because before that, I think it was still looked at as like a lower tier. It was looked at as kind of like an also or a me too. And, you know, I think that the light stayed on because of skincare during COVID. I think that was something that people really saw the value of skincare. And now you look at what happened in the last year. We were purchased. Elastin was purchased. Skin Better was purchased. Like, you see all these companies, you know, you've got KKR, you've got Blackstone that owns ZO. You have so many different investment firms that are trying to get into this space. And that's a good thing for everybody. I would say that that's legitimizing skincare, to your point. You watch a TV commercial now, you're almost inundated with Lancome, like L'Oreal. Like, mm-hmm. There's so many commercials now for skincare. Every time I turn, it might be just my feed on Instagram or something, but every time I turn around, there's a new skincare line. And so I don't think that's going to stop. But I think COVID, and to your point, the demographics are getting lower and lower, and skincare is a really easy barrier of entry.
I think they just have your number on Instagram. They just know that you're the skincare guy. All your ads are skincare all day long.
All the time. Well, not just on there. I'm just even on like the football games, you know, you'll see a lot of skincare, and you're like, this is football.
Well, men, that's a whole untapped market. I think men, I'm good friends with, through grapevine, Brett Bailey. So he's got everybody using all the skincare. His wife is an injectable rep. So again, it's, you know, once you're in the industry, you're kind of in the industry no matter how you get here. We don't let you go. We can hold you prisoner. But what's next for Revision as a company? Give us a clue of the next big launch if you can.
Yeah, well, we have something really exciting coming next year. Our launch right now for our daily boosting serum, I think the cool part is that we've been approached. I think people see what we did with Revox Slime Relaxer and Allergan. You know, we went and checked with Allergan, look at the studies to make sure, you know. And so I think the legitimacy of what we've done with that now shows that the daily boosting serum, we're taking meetings constantly from device companies because device companies want to use this pre or post procedure. And so right now we're setting up some really cool studies. So we're not really done with this launch yet. I would say that we do have a new product. I almost don't even want to talk about it because that's coming next year. Right now, what we're focusing on is this launch. And, you know, when you're in the JCD, when you're on the cover of the magazines, when you're on the cover for Revox Slime Relaxer, when you're constantly being published, the bar is a little bit higher. I get calls a lot from people who are angry that want to do studies that weren't in studies. So right now I'm just trying to catch up and hide at the same time. But I think the next thing is really just watching what the power of this DJ boosting serum launch is going to do, because the science behind it and even the patented technology, like I said, it's, you know, I'll let the office and the executives talk to you about that, but the sky's the limit with this product.
I'm seeing it everywhere. I have to get it. So someone out there, I don't have any friends at Revision. Send me a bottle of that stuff. I want to try it.
You have one in your bag outside, but that's okay. You don't even know it yet. But yes, it is a game changer. And I think that's my focus right now is to make that product what Revox Slime Relaxer is.
Oh, I think you're already over. I mean, you're well on your way. If not, you've already catapulted past RLR results.
But yeah, when we beat that bar, I think we were like, whoa.
Yeah. Well, last question for you, because shockingly, we're almost at time here. But you mentioned people are mad at you about studies. I'm sure that they want to be all in on all this goodness. How do folks get involved? How do you guys pick your, you know, your KOLs, your speakers, your researchers? For those who are like, how do I do this in the industry? Give us your industry mindset or perspective on picking your friends, your tribe, or your, I guess I shouldn't say friends, that's not a good word, you know, your KOLs.
Yeah, it's really difficult, but you have to keep the end user in mind. And the reason is skincare is a little different than injectables. So the way they pick KOLs is a little different there because you have to think about the consumer as well as the office, right? There's two different audiences, and some people speak really well to a consumer and some people speak really well to the scientific world. And so when we pick our KOLs, it's always with who's our audience? Like, who are we going to talk to? Who do we want to be the messenger for that? And so really just work with your account executives, understanding the science. Like, you can't be a speaker or you can't do a study unless you work with the company. And it's not like a quid pro quo type of setup. It's more of, if you don't know the products, then what's the point? And I'll give you an example. If you don't use the product and you're doing the study for them, everybody around you knows that. Like, everybody. And so they'll go, yeah, but he doesn't even use that, or she doesn't even use that. It takes away completely your credibility. What's the point of doing it? So you're picking people based on the expertise, based on their background, and who they're really speaking to. And then you kind of plug and play from there. So if you want to get into that, I would say your account executive is your first kind of stop of like, how do I, you know, get involved, meet the managers, meet the people, be a partner. You know what I mean? This is a partnership, you know? And so I will say that almost every physician you talk to at this point has a study site. So just having a study site, they're not, if you build it, they won't come. That's not the way to do it. You really have to kind of understand, go to meetings, be part of the circuit, be part of the industry. You know, it is a good place to be in this industry. We are blessed and lucky to be in this industry.
And you got to be able to present on it and write articles about it and do like on-demand interviews, you know, with whomever. Like, it's a lot of responsibility, I think, to be a KOL in any industry. But to your point, Galderma, I would hate that. Like, they don't even use the injectables. Why are they on podium? And it would discount or discredit the entire company.
Everybody knows it.
And so if you throw a fit about not being on podium and you're not using revision, shame on you, don't do that.
Or you won't use it because you're not. Like, there's, you're the chicken or the egg. Like, you're not, that's not going to work. It's more about like pick what you believe in. That would be my easy advice. Pick what you believe in. If you believe in it, you don't have to sell it. It sells itself. And so if you believe in it and you're aligned values, morals, and kind of the direction of the company along with a great product, I think that shows and people will see it. And that's where you really start to partner.
Yeah. I think that Missy Clifton, she's a person who, she just believes it so much that you listen to her forever about anything.
I love her.
She's passionate about breathing and living. And so you're like, yeah, whatever you're selling, honey, I'm buying it. Cause she's all in.
Yeah. Well, listen, if you don't know that Bentonville, Arkansas is bigger than your office, then you just haven't been there. And so, Walmart, that's why. But still, it's a beautiful part of the country, and I'm lucky to have met her really early on. I think that's part of it too, is the relationships in this industry matter. People, it's a small world. It's a small world. And you know, coming from Detroit, you know, I had like 8 or 9 residency programs, and I didn't realize it at the time, but I spent so much time with residents. I spent so much time with the DO residency, University of Michigan, Wayne State, all these different places, and everybody moves. And so like from that spot, they spread out all over the country. So no matter where I go, I run into somebody that I knew back in Detroit who knew me, that I paid attention to them before they were big or before they became famous or, you know, rich or whatever, you know, whatever the case may be. I think that's a key right there. That's what partnerships are, is taking care of people even when you don't have to.
Yeah. And I think too, to your point about being in the room, you know, I think when I would do GAIN, we come to a city, people wouldn't show up. Like, we're in your marketplace, you know, in your city. You can't be bothered to come here. Like, who's going to know who you are? If you can't drive across town for me, how can I offer a KOL job to you? Like, there is a part of it, not quid pro quo, but a respect issue, I think, there too. So be in the room, be the person raising their hand saying, gosh, I want to share my experiences about this. I want to be at your retreat. I want to come to your events. I think you have to kind of, you have to opt in and participate here to get noticed. There's a lot of you out there.
Yeah. I mean, there's just a lot of people in this industry who, you know, I want to be the next Lovely Skin. I hear that all the time. I want to be the next.
Me too.
I want to be the next, you know, Gene Carruthers. Like, I want to be the next, you know, you hear these things and you go, me too. But it's not that easy. Yeah. And so you need your friends. You need support and you need partnerships.
Yeah, and you're a great one. Hmm. You're my people. We've done a lot of crazy things together and had a lot of fun, but we've also done a lot of cool business stuff too. So
you also saved my career once. I never forget that stuff.
well, it was obviously worth saving, and you've done amazing things since. So, well, for the record, you have been wonderful as always. We love hanging out with you. I always do. And
same
being
here
in our live studio, you're
I know. This what a cool spot. I love this place. I'm, you know, yes, this, you guys should take a trip to Dallas next time you're in Dallas. Look them up. This is quite the operation they have there.
Yeah, we'll put you on a green screen. You can be like floating around in a ball of skincare later on. But no, thank you for coming on. And I think that the revision runway is very long, and so is yours. And I can't wait to see what happens at Elite Retreat number 2.
No pressure. I got to figure out how to top it.
Well, I've got ideas for you. But we will see you guys all back next week. We're inching up on Christmas right now in the holiday season. But make sure you take time to listen to For the Record. And Chris, we will see you hopefully around our parts very, very soon.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it, and I look forward to seeing what it comes next.
All right. Well, guys, we'll see you next week. Bye. Thanks for listening to another episode of For the Record. This podcast is not intended to provide legal or medical advice. It's for entertainment, education, and information purposes only. For more information on this week's guest or to get started with Aesthetic Record, email us at info@aestheticrecord.com. Be sure to tune in next week for more fresh perspectives on disrupting the status quo and surviving in the aesthetics industry.